You're listening to the Laugh Factory Podcast Network. For more shows, visit the podcast page at laughfactory.com.
It's the After Laugh, After Laugh. Welcome to the After Laugh, After Laugh, After Laugh. After Laugh, man. Go ahead, pull up a chair.
I'm here with new friend Rick D'Elia. We are in lovely Reno, Nevada. And I don't mean that sarcastically. It's beautiful here.
Dude, it's awesome. People used to dump on this town all the time.
But yeah.
But, you know, over like the last 10 years, they've added like several companies and they, like, people are moving in. They beautified it. It's right next to Lake Tahoe.
Now, is Reno, does it have like a Democratic mayor or Republican mayor?
Democratic now. This is primarily.
Because I've heard different things. I've heard people say Reno was the tits. And now it's like, now it's again back to the homeless people running the roost.
There's that. Yeah. You want, all these California people don't want to live under that regime, right? The People's Republic of California under Gavin Newsom. And so they're like, hey, let's go to Nevada. There's no tax. Everything's cheaper. But they still bring their values here.
Yeah.
And so, and that way, Reno has been beautified. But in terms of politically, yeah, we've gone from a red state to we're blue.
Now, what do you think now? Because watching your act, it's funny because I hadn't seen I'd seen some stuff online before, but I hadn't really seen your act before. And I was watching, I was like, oh, we kind of sync up, and I'm sure Harry Basil, who books it, kind of knew that when he put us together. I was like, okay, I think we have a little bit, but I feel like you're a little bit more comfortable in your red pilledness. For whatever reason, I still can't ever say, hey, I'm a Republican. People go, you sound like you're a Republican. I go, no, I'm a Democrat. I'm just pissed off at him.
Yeah.
So what do you feel? Has it shifted for you, or have you always been kind of conservative, or do you just...
No.
Are you
I'm a lifelong Democrat from a long line
like
of Democrats.
All these guys, like Joe Rogan.
Yes. Yes. And I have to tell you, this is so unpatriotic, but 2016 was the only time I just didn't vote because I couldn't vote for Trump and I certainly couldn't vote for Hillary. So I just said, fuck it. I'm not voting this year. And so during the pandemic, it was when I kind of went down the rabbit hole. Every time Trump was like fake news, I'd be like, dude,
shut up.
You know, Fox is one side, CNN's the other side. They all take, you know, they're all partisan.
Yeah.
But when I started doing like looking up, you know, all the corporations that own the media, it literally, you got Fox News, then you have all the other ones.
Yeah.
And it really is, it's not so much fake, but they just, you know, it's an error of omission. They just don't talk about
and
certain
things. And there's just an agenda that's being promulgated through all the news, the quote-unquote news. It's funny because I guess we probably had similar journeys. I was always Democrat. I was one of those guys like, either you're a Democrat or you're evil. And then my dad, who's like probably the best human I know, is a hardcore Republican his whole life. Eisenhower Republican.
Yeah.
And then during the pandemic, I just started going like, wait a second, this stuff. And like, oh, you know, the Hunter Biden laptop, that's just Russian disinformation.
Right.
All this shit starts happening. So I'm like, wait, what's happening? Who's
exactly? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The riots, okay?
Yeah.
You know, after the George Floyd thing happened.
Yeah.
And mainstream media just not covering it at all.
At all.
And so it's like, wait, it's really happening now. I mean, stuff happened here. Like, I saw it with my own eyes.
Yeah.
So it's happening. Why is 99% of the news just not touching it whatsoever?
Yeah.
So that was when I was like, holy shit.
What do you think that's about? Because I've been trying to touch that in my act a little bit. I don't know if you saw it. You know, the idea that, like, people want to be good. This is one of my stoned thoughts. I try to put in my stand-up. It never really coalesces. But, like, people want to be good, right?
Yeah.
You, when the BLM riots happen, you want Black people to get, you know, you want them to get justice. You want it to be anti-racism. You want that to be, you want it all. You want everyone to be happy. You want people to come together. And there's, I guess the question is like, there's just a limiting principle with it, right?
Yeah.
There's a certain point where you go, okay. And the slippery slope argument that Republicans use and Democrats are like, oh, the slippery slope. It ends up being the slippery slope. You know,
right.
We just see it happen.
Right.
So we see the bottom of this fucking slide. So, what do you think that's about? Do you think that there's like hegemony in corporations that are making this happen, or do you think it's people?
You know what? I go down a lot of rabbit holes, dude.
Yeah.
And so I don't always come back up confident that that rabbit hole that I just visited is correct.
Yes.
But I do kind of, you know, there is some evidence that there have, were some corporations behind it, like a Soros,
yeah.
you know. You know, spending money on pallets of bricks and leaving them, you know, where the people are going to be protesting. Look, black people have every right to be pissed. Obviously, yeah. there has been historically, they've been wronged a lot. And the thing that happened with George Floyd was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's everyone has a right to peaceful assembly. That's right in the Constitution. But you don't have a right to burn shit down and loot
yeah.
and go, this is in the name of justice. Because, you know, you're just as bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah, I think there's some corporate sponsor to the, you know, to the riots.
Yeah, it's very interesting how many people I know, very smart people who just did real, like they did circus tricks trying to justify like awful shit that was happening.
Yeah.
And make it, even just like the looting and the robbing and the structure, like, oh, well, insurance covers it. Like that's just like a magical thing.
Right.
Like insurance doesn't, there's no trickle down from insurance. It doesn't affect the workers' salaries. It doesn't affect the companies. And,
right.
And it's a very hard argument to get into with anyone because people are so entrenched in their views that it seemed to me like comics were really the only people that were kind of like, we can play both sides.
Yeah.
You know?
That's, as a comic, I think most of us, you know, probably skewed a little to the left, but we're really in the middle. We really are independents because you have to be objective to be able to make jokes equally on both sides.
Yeah.
But that shifted now. Publicly, you can, you're safe making fun of the left, or I mean, I'm sorry, the right,
yeah,
but not the left.
I wonder if that will ever change, or is that just how it's always been?
I don't know. I don't know. The pendulum's got to swing at yeah. some point. But you know, and I'm sure you've seen the memes floating around everywhere. The difference between what is it like it's a conspiracy theory. When is a conspiracy theory right or whatever? Wait 6 months.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that in real time now.
Yeah.
Like a year ago when people were saying, hey, we got an issue at the border, the people on the left were like, no, that's a conspiracy. That's crazy talk. Oh, put your tinfoil hat on. and you know, down in Texas, they were saying, hey, they're flying these people out in the middle of the night. They're flying them to that's bullshit. That's not happening.
Yeah.
To jump to today, the mayor of D.C. going, hey, this is a problem.
Yeah, quit shipping them over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, this is a problem.
We're a sanctuary city, but not really.
Right. So 6 months ago, a year ago, you're a conspiracy theorist for even suggesting that's happening. And now it's so overwhelming that they're going, we need help. We need the National Guard.
And then Biden is kind of silently building the wall back right now.
Yes. I know.
The thing is, like, I really believe that, you know, my family, and I would like to talk about, like, your upbringing and stuff a little bit before this. Like, so I have two brothers. I talk about how my brothers are doctors, right? One of them is a professor, and he's probably one of the foremost professors in America on, like, the language of war and liberal ideology involving, like, violence among men. They're both geniuses, like, so much smarter than me. The other one's a MD and a member of SWAT. Right?
Right. Wow.
So he's a cop and a doctor.
Wow.
So, and they're both like way overachieving, but they couldn't be more politically separated, right? But they're brothers. They love each other. And sometimes you see them go, it's always my liberal professor brother who has to tap out of the conversation.
Of course.
Because there's a certain point where it's like, I can't talk about it.
Right.
Because the logic, he doesn't have the logic on his side.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean?
Well, exactly.
On some level. So I guess, and he's a great guy. My brother's, so I always kind of look at these people. I think that the Democrats in general, liberals in general, like, the heart's in the right place.
100%.
But there's a great quote I heard, which is, it's easier to talk someone into something than out of something, right?
Oh, that's.
So if you're in this idea of like, hey, I got to protect these marginalized communities, then anything that runs counter to that is going to like hit you like, you know,
exactly,
like a brick.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means for me in terms of like my comedy. I definitely know that it's an interesting thing to negotiate. And sometimes I'm in, like, I have that silly joke where I go, I stopped being afraid COVID when Trump beat it. But we should have known he was going to beat it because he beat Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And she's killed way more people than COVID. And
that's
some crowds, like, they'll give me an applause break here, you know,
right.
or in Texas. And then in LA, obviously, it's like, oh, what is he? What is it? So you kind of have to backtrack. So have you found that you've been, that your comedy, because you come out pretty hard saying some stuff where I was like, damn, like you say, you go, hey, let me say it. men can't have babies.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Which obviously 10 years ago would never be controversial.
That wouldn't even be. Yeah.
But even exactly. Me, who only loves to say offensive shit, I hear that and I go, ooh.
Yeah. Well, I stopped giving a fuck during the pandemic. Yeah. Really. Like just when I see, look, being liberal is really sexy. Because you're right. Yeah. Your heart's in the right place. It's humanitarian. Oh, we got to take care of this marginalized group, this group. On paper, it looks great.
Yeah.
But the reality is a 180 from it. And the woke is just going way, way too far. There was a night, and I'll tell you this real quick. Chelsea, my wife, was actually there. I have witnesses. I walked out on stage, and I said, how you guys doing? And someone got me on guys. Literally, I go, how are you guys doing?
I think about that all the time. That's so funny. Yeah.
Honest to God. And he goes, watch, what did he say? He goes, watch the pronouns. We're not all guys. And it was a guy. It was a bearded guy.
Were they being serious?
He was 100% being serious. And I thought he was joking. And so I started, I'm like, I go, dude, that's funny. And he goes, you just did it again. You assumed my identity. And I go, with what? He goes, dude. And now I'm in this weird quandary. I'm like, are you fucking?
Yeah.
Are you serious? And he was serious. And
oh, shit.
I went at him. I did like 5 or 6 minutes, and then he just got up and walked out. He got up, and the whole crowd applauded. You know what I mean? But literally, my wife says, "Guys, you just say, hey, guys, what's up?" You know,
when I put myself in for self tape, I'm like, "Hey, guys, Bill Dawes, 6 feet tall in L.A." But I was thinking about that because it came up. I'm like, so maybe you should say, they say, "Hey, y'all."
Yeah.
Well, I'm from the South. I can say, hey, y'all, but that's also a little disingenuous. Hey, y'all.
Hey, right. Yeah, you know what dude, I mean?
Hey, everybody. Hello, Fred.
Like, Earthlings? Thing?
Disney. You know how they introduce people in Disney now, right?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, they say, hello, friends now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I don't know. That. I don't know if it's going to sort of go back to that. And I guess there's certain things that you just get used to and you end up giving a shit about.
Yeah.
Like the thing that bugs me about Republicans in general, I don't want to make this whole thing political.
Oh, no, that's
but
fine.
The thing that bugs me about Republicans in general is like, for example, the gay marriage thing.
Right.
Well, the definition of marriage is blah, blah, blah. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Who? It does not affect
exactly.
you. Who
exactly.
gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Well, truth matters and definitions matter. Who gives a fuck?
Right.
Even
right.
like, and I completely align with Bill Burr on the, and I actually had it. Whenever I watch a Bill Burr special, I'm like, okay, I got to lose this joke. I got to lose this joke.
Every time.
I can see that with you, too, because I'm like, fuck, he just – it's like that old joke. Simpsons did it better. I'm like, he took my joke and did it better, so fuck, I can't do it. But I had a whole joke about like, oh, it's killing a baby. I'm like, so? So what if it is killing a baby? That's fine. Baby's dead. What does he care? Like, I don't think it's a problem. If it is killing a baby, sure, but fine. We should still kill babies.
Right.
I kind of actually believe that. It sounds awful. But
dude, Burr and I have the same birthday.
Really?
We grew up in the same part of we grew up in Massachusetts.
So yeah.
We grew up in the same part of the country. We started doing comedy within a month of each other. We were open micers. We're addicted to sports. You know what I mean? And so just naturally being Geminis coming from the same part of the world,
yeah.
we're going to have similar thoughts.
Of course.
And the same thing. Every time I go, you know, I'm fortunate. I get to open for him a lot. And I sit and watch him and I go, fuck. Fuck. He does. And I'll have one or two lines about it. He's got a 10-minute chunk.
Of course.
And it's like, all right, what am I doing? You know what I mean? He's just so next level. It's
yeah. It's great.
You know? But, yeah, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, just the hypocrisy of – you say how they changed the definition. Yeah, Republicans do that with certain subjects. But so are the Democrats right
course,
now. They're changing
course.
Words. Recession.
Course, yeah.
I mean, you learned it in economics class. The definition of a recession. And now they're saying, no, that's not the definition.
No. That's not a recession.
Dude,
we're not in a recession. Like in a recession. It's funny to me. I mean, it's funny. It's just funny. Because I get it. Because that's what we all do as human beings. It's almost like what humans do naturally. You see it in
right.
like the national public TV level where like everyone tries to justify their bullshit,
yeah.
you know? Well, I didn't cheat because we were on a break or you told me that, you know what I mean? There's always some, you try to justify your actions in some bullshit way. And now you see, when you see people that we're supposed to think are in some elevated arena of thinking doing it, you're like,
right.
oh, wait a second. They're just petty fucking
fuck,
humans
dude, right?
who want power and control. And like when AOC was like, ah, oh, God, you talk about that like with invisible handcuffs. What's so funny about that is that, you know, first of all, I don't mind that she was doing that. Like she wants a photo op, fine. And she raised her hand, she goes, blah, blah, blah. So she gets busted. Just be like, yeah, you know, I was showing them. I was arrested. I just want to. But don't be like, I was doing what you would do to show compliance to the cops. You do not put your hands behind your back to show compliance. You put your hands in the fucking air where they can see them, you dumb bitch.
Exactly. 100%. 100%, because what's behind your back then? Why are you reaching behind your back?
Yeah, it's so silly that she would even say that. Like,
I know.
And the one thing that bugs me about all of it, too, is is when Republicans do dumb shit, and they do a lot.
Oh, yeah.
There's the Marjorie Taylor Greens. There's the Trumps. There's all these people who say all the QAnon people that are they're fucking retarded.
Yeah.
When they say, and they get pilloried by everybody for weeks on end.
Right.
And that's great.
Sure.
But then AOC does that. She gets pilloried by like one faction of people.
Right. Right.
The whole news should be mocking her for 100%. For 2 weeks. About what the fuck she did.
And you can't touch her. She's untouchable.
She's untouchable. She's
that whole squad, all of those, you know.
Yeah.
Here, Bill, I could be so wrong about this, but this is just my opinion. But it seems like, I said, I'm a lifelong Democrat, so I don't know the full history of being a Republican, but it seems like they stick to they have their core beliefs.
Yeah.
You know, anti-gay marriage, you know, anti-abortion, mm-hmm. this, you know,
yeah.
Immigration, blah, blah, blah. Seems like they haven't changed. It seems like the left has just moved the goalposts so much further to left that those of us in the middle will just like, well, hey, how did I wind up here on the right? I didn't mean to wind up on the right, but am I wrong?
Elon Musk, he tweeted that whole thing where it showed like left, right, center, and he was like left of center.
Yeah.
And then the left people ran all the way to the other end of the, you know, under the meme.
Right.
Then the center, all of a sudden he's right of center. He's like, what the fuck?
Dude, and I agree
at him
that.
Like, bigot.
I agree with that totally. I just don't know if Republicans have changed a lot, because I hear liberals go, well, they're just as extreme. Look at how 100%. Far they're going to the right.
100%.
But I don't know if they're getting – like how much more to the right can you go if your beliefs are already – I don't support gay marriage. I don't support abortion. You know,
yeah.
All that stuff. So have they changed?
It's funny because whenever I talk to my like hardcore, really smart liberal friends, you know, they always talk about the Overton window, right?
Yeah.
They will say the Overton window, which is like the window of acceptable discourse about a subject, right? They will say that it's shifted to the right.
Yeah.
Which, in my mind, that's ridiculous. It's clearly shifted to the left.
Yes.
So I don't know. Because obviously conservatives, it's about conserving. It's about conserving what's always been there.
Yeah.
But because the world changes and everything changes, some of those conservative ideas just look super antiquated after a while.
Oh, sure.
The idea of gay marriage being banned now just seems – that was only 10 years ago.
Isn't that crazy to think about?
Yeah. But it seems crazy to me that would be back on the chopping block. I mean, same thing with abortion too. I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just misogyny and sexism. I think there's a lot out there. But I do think there are people who are like, oh, it's killing a baby, and they really, really feel that.
Sure.
And I do feel that, but I also don't care. I'm all for killing babies.
Dude, you know where I am? Here's what a fucking huge hypocrite I am. I'm okay with it up to like a certain point. But when it's like what? Like past that 3 month mark where you actually can see fingers, toes, you know what I mean? And so I'm like, if it's early on, yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that makes me a bad person because.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, shit. But yeah, but like when you can see, you know, what the kid looks like and, you know, fully developed, you know, the heartbeat and
of
breathing.
Of course.
Then it's like.
And you have kids, you've seen the sonograms, you have those emotional connections. The idea of seeing that and then they start doing like, they start hiccuping and stuff, and like you're like, I can't kill it now.
Dude, Andrew Schultz, you know who he is?
Of course.
He's got a fucking bit that's so good about the ultrasound. He's like, it used to be grainy in a fuzzy image, and you're like, ah, that's abortable. But now it's like in 4K. It's like in high def, and you look at it and you go,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he obviously, I'm butchering his wording, but that's the idea. Yeah. Like now.
And also, when a baby can live outside the womb, its viability, it keeps getting younger. I mean, pretty soon a baby's going to be like, you know, 6 weeks old. Like, we can keep it alive.
Yeah.
We can keep it alive. And then,
right.
I think that there's a lot of things in the world are just about choosing evils that are necessary sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like cops.
Yeah.
We need cops. And some of them are going to be fucking dicks. And some of them are going to be racist. But we need, you know what? We need racist cops out there because we just need cops. And unfortunately, there will be racist cops.
Right.
But if we defund the cops or I mean, just the fact that Colin Kaepernick got away saying, that's defund. Abolish the police.
Yes,
and people were like, hey, you fucking idiot. We're not going to abolish the police, you dumb. Like, no one's calling him a stupid idiot, which he is.
Well, a lot of these people that are calling for the defunding of the police, this gets pointed out a lot by people on there, like a Ben Shapiro or Jordan Peterson. These guys have security up the ass.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? They're in gated, community. You know what I mean? So it's like, get rid of the police for all of you people. But for us, we're protected from up on high.
No, Hollywood is very... I became a stoner like 5 years ago, and I started – I remember one of the first times I was really stoned, I was watching the Oscars, and I just realized like, man, what a bunch of fucking clowns.
Yeah,
these people are clowns. And even the stuff with Chris Rock and Will Smith, the fact that he got a standing ovation after he smacked Chris Rock in the fucking face – these people are fucking clowns, man.
Yeah.
And I just don't know – I don't know how I feel about it because I'm also – I feel like – I'm definitely happy to be a corporate shill for anything in Hollywood.
Right.
You know what I mean? I will delete this podcast tomorrow. Like, hey, you want to be a fucking series regular on Rookie? Delete your podcast. Like, all right, let's do it.
Dude, there's a joke, or it was probably a meme, and I'm going to butcher that also. But it was like the Oscars 10 years ago was like, who are you wearing? And now it's like, who are you speaking on behalf for? Which marginalized, because no one just does a speech anymore that says, hey, thank my agent.
No.
Everyone is representing some cause.
Of course.
There, and it's like, just enough.
And remember the 70s, it was like Marlon Brando had like,
The
Indian Shawnee woman go up
and
accept it. And it was like, everyone thought that was the craziest thing
in the world. Craziest thing,
Now that's like everyone. They're doing some version of that.
Dude, remember when Ricky Gervais was it the Emmys?
Golden Globes?
Golden Globes. And he's like, basically, just get up there, thank your God, shut the fuck up, and sit down. And then the next person who came up went right into a thing about global warming.
No one's going to learn. No one's going to learn. They don't think... It's very funny because I know we're just in this path. We got to stick with it because I've always been – I'm a fan of Hollywood to a degree.
Yeah.
I love movies. I love TV. I love the industry in a lot of ways. And I love – like I love Wanda Sykes. I've always been a fan of her comedy. And then you watch her on TV with a Colbert or whatever and she goes like, I don't understand. It's like we got the blues. No, people live here. All that red shit in the middle. I'm like, you're talking about human beings, you fucking cunt.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And they're not just white people. Have you been to America? I'm in Austin a lot of the time and it's like, people are like, there's a lot of black yippee-ki-yay motherfuckers. You know what I mean? There are a lot of black dudes with fucking hats and guns and trucks. And we're such an incredibly diverse place. And people on the coast who really don't get out and travel that much, they just think it's like all QAnon in the middle of the country and nothing else.
Yeah.
And we travel and we do comics. We know that. And we also know that some of these QAnon people, they're decent people who've been misguided.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
But they're not bad humans.
Just like you say in your show, everyone wants to be good.
Yeah.
I really, truly believe that. On both sides, we all want the same thing overall in life.
Yeah.
But we have little things that we're hung up on,
Yeah.
To someone, the pronoun thing is really important. But at the end of the day, you want to be healthy. You want to have a good family or good friends. You know what I mean? We all want that. We all want the basic goals to be able to provide and all that stuff. People have different ideas of how to get there. I don't know if we're ever going to be able to agree on that.
Yeah. I don't know. And it definitely things are getting worse, but maybe, things have to get worse to get better.
To get better? I don't know. I was listening to Ben Shapiro, who a lot of people hate, but he and again, he's so much more eloquent and articulate than I could ever dream of being. But he did a whole show about why JFK, he would not be welcomed by the Democratic Party today. If JFK, and he like went through all of his, he would have been considered a Republican today,
sure,
by the Democratic standards.
Yeah.
That's how far they moved. And he was, he's like one of the most iconic presidents of all time. I grew up in Massachusetts.
Of course.
Everyone worshipped Kennedy.
Yeah.
And just to think that Kennedy, his brother Bobby sure still would have been a Democrat. But, it's weird how it shifted. I think the pendulum got to go back at some point. Hopefully, I don't know if we've reached our tipping point. If we have mass, I don't know.
With social media, I don't know what it is about social media, but I think like with video games, I was never good at video games, thank God. Because video games have – people who make video games have figured out how to engineer them such a way that they will win.
Yeah.
They will beat your need for self-preservation, for health, for sanity. You will be sucked in a way that you can't escape it. It's like an addiction. They play with addictive qualities and make people – hooked, make young people. And I've been hooked on video games. I was hooked on Grand Theft Auto 3. I couldn't leave my fucking house. You know what I mean? And I had like literally lock it away so I wouldn't fuck with them. Yeah, because they know what they're doing. They know it. So now with social media, it's the same thing. And I've talked to people who worked at Facebook high up and they were like, they quit because they said, at the end of the day, dealing with this AI shit, you realize it's so Machiavellian. It's just about eyeballs and they don't give a fuck. They're good people who create programs that are fucking racist and sexist and just Machiavellian. The AI, he basically said AI is racist. That's what it boils down to.
Wow.
Robots are racist because they will always like travel to the point of what is the most money, what's most sex. And right now, it's things that are quote unquote white. You know what I mean? They don't care about marginalized voices because that's not how robots work. They robot like what is the... From their point of view, like, this isn't working, kill it. You know what I mean?
Right. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very fucking bizarre.
Oh, I can't wait for there to be a march on that. You know what I mean? Fucking robots are racist robots.
I mean, this guy was like, he felt embarrassed. He goes, yeah, the AI, I don't know. He goes, they're racist? I don't know what else to put. I was like, oh, shit. He was like a burnout. He started going to Burning Man, doing all these peyote and drugs because he was like, man, I was at the top. I was a headhunter at Facebook and it just
– holy shit.
It killed me. So I want to get back to you. Like, so your story, you're from Massachusetts.
Yeah, born and raised.
Born and raised. How come you don't have the fucking accent? What the fuck?
You know, when I'm drinking beer, it comes in and out a little bit when I'm getting a little clocked up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's up, motherfucker? This is hilarious. It was more prominent when I was living there. And,
sure.
My cousin Chris, they all sound like the Kennedys, so a lot of my family.
So that's a different type of Boston accent. That's like the Brahmin Boston,
right? Yeah.
Because it's a little bit more like...
That's more of a Kennedy right there. But then the street Boston guys, it's a little more like this. Like in The Departed, and The Town, some of them. But my cousin Chris, Chris Sheehan, they're from Linfield, and I'd been living out in L.A. for a few years, and I come home, and he goes, oh, look at Mr. Hollywood pronouncing his ahs like a fucking – like you're some kind of superstar now out there, Mr. Ah. Huh?
Yeah. That's fucking great.
But no, not everyone has the accent there, and I didn't grow up in Boston. You know what I mean? I grew up in a suburb. Half the people had it. Half the people didn't. The town that I grew up in, there was a lot of Polish accents, so I'm guessing a lot of people were from Chicago because they kind of had that, Billy Dawes, what's up, man? Hey, man, let's go down to the Packy.
Have you seen my dad?
Yeah. So there's a lot of people had that. And I go home to Boston now, and Boston has really become diverse. We had a bad reputation.
Everyone, for being racist, for sure.
But one of the reasons was because they were the last baseball team in all major league to sign a black player.
Really?
Yeah. This is how stupid they are, though. They could have signed Willie Mays.
Oh, boy.
And they chose not to because of his skin color. And so Willie Mays went on to be one of the greatest players of all time. And if you had Carly Stremski and Willie Mays and Ted Williams in the outfield together, they might not have had to wait 86 years to break the curve. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But then they were the very last team to sign a black player.
What year was that?
68, maybe.
Wow.
Pumpsy Green.
Pumpsy Green.
Just a great trivia question. That was, you know what I mean? He wasn't a good player. Pumpsy Green. And then if you look at the Celtics historically, they were the whitest team. Bird.
What is that about? It's just the Irish influence there?
Yeah. And so they had the reputation of being,
which was a little warranted, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, it was before your time, but maybe you were like a young baby, but like the Boston busing riots,
I was born. I was born in 67. I'm old, so.
So that was 74. I think the riots. Yeah. So you were like your time.
Yeah, 7 year.
But do you remember that time? Do you remember the 70s being rife with?
Dude, I remember. I'll tell you what I remember. I remember everyone talking about Watergate. And it was a funny word to me because I was a little kid. I didn't know what it meant. Yeah. And Watergate, and then I do remember gas lines. I absolutely, like when we, around 78, I think, so I was like 11. Carter was president. I remember the Iran-Contra thing. I remember the hostages. I remember the gas lines. But I wasn't. I've never been political, and I still don't consider myself political now. I just pay attention now more than I ever have.
Yeah.
I just didn't.
Well, it's funny because I felt with comics, there very few political comics.
Right, right, right.
And now I kind of feel like everyone has to dip their toes in.
You kind of have to.
I don't know how that, like, cultural and political have conflated in a way that wasn't the case in the past, maybe. I'm not sure. But I feel like when I remember watching comics, like, okay, that's a political comic.
Right, right.
But then everyone else was just kind of like observational or cultural or dirty or blue. So, I mean, then you had people like George Carlin, obviously, who sort of like bridged the two. You know, I guess he would be a political comic. You know,
I can't imagine the kind of stuff that he would be doing today, and where would he lie? Because, like, you would think that he was a hippy dippy liberal, right?
Yeah.
But he basically said global warming is bullshit. When the planet is done with us, it's going to shake us off like fleas.
Yeah.
You're arrogant to think that your straw is, I don't think he said straw, where you do straws now, but your plastic bag is going to change the way, you know,
I say it all the time.
Yeah. Carlin had that great, great, great bit. And he's like, you know, you'll go look at the fucking Grand Canyon. Well, how did that happen? You know, there was the temperatures up and down, you know. So if you think what you're doing, you're arrogant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's actually a conservative view.
Yes.
So he did go back and forth quite a bit.
Yeah.
Where would he be with all this woke shit today?
He was such a lover of, like, the First Amendment and free speech.
Yes.
I imagine that he'd have problems with it, you know. Who do you think is kind of like the torchbearer for Carlin? Do you feel it's like Bill Burr? Do you think it's Louis C.K., Dave Chappelle?
Yeah, those are the three names that I would say right off the top of my head. Burr, yeah. Absolutely. Chappelle, of course. I don't know what Louis's doing. I heard he just released a special. I know he kind of went away.
He has two. It's very bizarre. He has two on his website, and I was talking with the producer of the podcast about that, and like we were talking about Bill Burr's Live at Red Rocks.
Yeah.
And where it ranks in terms of his other specials and where he's at right now. And he, Tommy was like, you know, I never feel like I want to watch the Bill Burr, but I'm glad I did. Yeah. He goes, but when Louis C.K., I never want to watch it, but I feel like I have to.
Right.
If
right.
That makes
right.
sense. Like, yeah. I have to see what he's doing.
What he's doing. Yeah.
And I kind of feel the same way. Like, I'm like, what is he going to say right now?
Right.
And his last special won a Grammy, which is very bizarre.
Amazing.
That the Grammys would acknowledge that. Sign that.
Right?
You know.
I agree. You know, Ricky Gervais's new special is getting amazing accolades all over, and I think that's the most unwoke special I've seen anyone do.
Oh, really?
More than Burr, more than Chappelle. He goes right at all the hot button topics right from the get-go.
Yeah.
About gender identity and women and, you know, women in sports and having a dick in different bathrooms, and you're like, holy fuck. And it's on Netflix.
That's
it's
bananas.
Like, good for you. But Ricky Gervais is also huge.
Huge.
He's globally huge. So, yeah. You know,
he has all the money in the world, so he doesn't have to ever worry about money.
Yeah.
And it's weird out because I also feel like the idea of being, quote unquote, canceled for jokes is sort of a myth, right?
Right, right, yeah.
Like, as white men, we can't get canceled for jokes.
No.
Worst case scenario, we just become comics on Fox News.
Right. Jamie Lissow, do you know Jamie?
Oh, I do know Jamie Lissow.
He's a buddy of mine, and I saw him pop up one day, and he's really funny. Like, somehow they let him do kind of bits. He's not being real political. Tom Cotter used to be on the Red Eye a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're kind of there for comic relief.
Yeah.
And he's not getting real into. He's not opinionated. You know, he's not doing the Fox narrative. He's doing bits, and it's funny.
Yeah, I don't. I'm still at the point where I'm like, I don't know how far down. If they were like, hey, you want to be like the comic for Fox News.
Yeah.
I don't know if God knows I need the money, but I had part of me be like, that's now you're that guy.
You've pigeonholed yourself.
Yeah.
And now Democrats are going to hate you.
Yeah.
They're not going to go see you.
And at the end of the day, I think Republicans are mostly nerds. Not that nerds are, you know, nothing wrong with nerds. My dad's a fucking nerd, but like, I love nerds, but like also.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
I like the fuck, you know.
I'm not lazy. I just, when I got into this business, I never gave a shit about sitcoms or being an actor. Mm. I never gave a shit about being famous. I always said, if I can make a comfortable living,
sure,
I'll be so happy. And I've been doing it. You know, I'm in my 30th year now. I have a condo. I have a house. I do a ton of cruise ships. I make plenty of money. You know, I'm very, very, very happy with where I am at. I don't. Would it be nice to get a little? Yeah, money wise, sure. But I mean, I don't know if I'd be willing to sacrifice what a lot of those people have to do, like hiring a PR person and being on TikTok, you know, 12 hours a day. That kind of – I'm not a social media guy.
Yeah.
I every now and again, I put up a picture and go, here's where I'll be. Maybe I'll see you. You know? it's not a lazy thing. I work very hard. You know.
But that arena of it is something that's never really appealed to you. Yeah.
I'm very, very happy being a – nameless. I'm just one of those guys.
And respected
I work
comic.
All
people
the time.
Know your comics. Know your
Everyone,
name.
Everyone. Yeah. A lot of people know. You know. I have a lot of peer respect.
Yeah.
But I kind of fly under the radar, and I like that. You know what I mean?
Now I want to talk to you too, because I remember what I was doing. I think I was headlining in Vegas, and I think you just cast Matt Rife.
That movie.
Film.
Yes. Oh, were you working with Matt that week?
Yeah, I was working with Matt that week. So it's called They
it's called
Suck?
It's called Don't Suck.
Don't Suck, okay.
It's called Don't Suck. And it has a stand-up element to it. Matt Rife, I'd never even heard of. We had a ton of people submit auditions, and everyone's doing video nowadays, you know?
Yeah.
And I just saw this kid, and I was like, holy, he's got the look. He could act really well. You know, he was funny.
Is he playing a vampire?
He's playing a vampire.
Yeah, he looks like a vampire.
And so it's a really silly, like... It's the worst elevator pitch in the world, because it's horrible. It's a horrible idea for a movie, but it's really fucking funny. We make it work. So this young kid, he's a goth kid. He's a poser, you know, and he tells everyone he's a vampire. Well, it turns out he actually is.
Yeah.
And the way that we hide it as long as you possibly can in the movie, but when we get there, it's like, oh, fuck. Oh, that was good. That was good. Yeah. But like getting people to read the script, it was so hard to elevator pitch it. You know what
sure.
I mean? I was like, if I tell you the concept, you're not going to want to read it because it's horrible. It's the dumbest. really, it's the dumbest idea for a movie ever. But please just read it. Please read it. And then every time. And a lot of people just said, no, I'm not going to fuck
it. And it was a bunch of comics writing it. So it was full of great jokes.
Yes.
I'm sure.
Yeah, 100%. And the riffing that happened on set was amazing. We're still editing it. We're probably, hopefully, by the end of August, we'll be done. The toughest part has been fighting with some of the other producers about jokes to keep in and jokes to take out because they don't. We have a what do they call it? A first look deal with Netflix.
Yeah,
and so Netflix has gone pretty woke, but recently, right? Didn't they kind of tell some of their employees like, "Hey, if you don't want to work here,
you get the fuck out." Yeah.
Right, exactly. Uh-huh. So we have been knocking heads. We, you know, just like every time, obviously, you act. You know, you shoot something that's in the script, you get it, and then you let everyone just riff. So you have options.
Of course.
And they are always wanting to go with the safer option.
Of course.
And me and Jamie Kennedy, you know, it's like, whoa, no. That's barely even funny. That's the least funny out of our... Yeah, but you can't, you know, you're kind of making fun of, just one of the examples.
You're punching down.
Yeah, right, like that type of thing, you know.
What's one of the examples you said?
Oh, so the kid, when he first starts catching him, he first starts believing he's a vampire, he goes into the bathroom, and Matt Rife's character is shooting up. Right, and he thinks he's shooting heroin. You know, Jamie's getting pissed. He's like, "No, it's blood. I shoot blood. I don't." You know, and he's like, "Oh, Jesus Christ, you with this vampire thing? You know, I think it's cool that you believe it. That you know, and I praise you for not demanding a separate bathroom for vampires."
Yeah.
Just cute little line. That had to be taken out. You know, it's just something like that, you know. And I was like, why? He's like, well, that's punching down at trans people. How? We're not mentioning trans.
Yeah.
We're saying vampires. Yeah. Just because it exists. I mean, that's the underlying theme.
Of course.
People wanting a different bathroom, you know. And there's a lot of identity, identity things, you know. That had to be, you know, taken down. I'm in the movie very, very little bit. And the first time Jamie Kennedy's character sees me, he's like, "Oh my God, I hadn't seen you in a while. You look like a fatter, gayer Anderson Cooper." Hilarious line.
Great joke.
Nope, gone. It's gone. It's gone, you know. And but you know what they allowed in there is, and you heard me say this on stage too. He's like, "Hey, you look like a fat Mike Pence." That's not nearly as funny, but it's okay if it slams the right.
Yeah,
you know.
Interesting.
And so it's like fatter, gayer Anderson Cooper.
So these are the Netflix people that are pushing back on this. Huh?
Yeah. So you know, I'm not making excuses. It was a low budget film. We did it for $750,000.
Yeah.
And it was still during COVID that we shot it. So we had to have on-set doctors, had to be tested every day. $150,000 went
it's
just
bananas
to
bananas how much the COVID stuff cost. Yeah.
And so, you know, we were handcuffed to that. We didn't get as much done as we wanted to because of the COVID protocols.
Yeah.
Like lunch, you know, or all the food. You can't just have craft services. You have to have individually wrapped meal. So lunch is going to take 2 hours because it's taking longer to serve.
Yeah.
We got a lot less done. It's going to be a little bit watered down, but I'm proud of it. I'm proud of, you know, how it's coming out.
So you've watched, you're like, okay, I got to film here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We're on like our 20th draft and I've sat through every single one.
Yeah.
Because we're a low budget movie, we had our temp soundtrack. We just put songs in there that we liked, knowing full well that we're not going to be able to get them, and we can't get any one of those. You know, they cost so much money, so we're struggling to find really good music, but that we don't have to pay for.
Is it a lot cheaper to get a cover of a song that people know? You know, if you like a cover of a Beatles or a cover of a song, or
you still have to pay. Yeah, you still have to pay a lot. It's way cheaper. Absolutely, it's 100% cheaper. But you know, I mean, we're I don't know how much money we have left in our, maybe like $20,000 left to go to the music, and that'll get you maybe one decent song or a bunch of $500.
Yeah.
Because you got to pay people something. You can't just,
of course.
And so things like, it was a good learning experience for me. Things like that. I just, you know.
This is your first film that you made and directed?
I didn't direct it. Okay. No, I produced it. I wrote it and I produced it. I sold two other screenplays before and they never, you know, through no fault of mine, they just never found their way through the Hollywood maze, as they say. And this is the first one that I've knock on wood, seen through to completion. It hasn't come out yet.
Still
could fuck up. There's still something that could happen.
But at this point, it's like, you know, you can make it. It's funny because I have the mother of my daughter. She is, of course, you won't say baby mama, but you know, she's a producer and she's in a post-production situation right now with this film. And it's a bigger budget.
Yeah.
But it's the same shit. Right. Like all the cooks in the kitchen, all the people, the stuff with the music. And it's really hard. It's amazing that people will come in with money and go, "Look, I love the film. It's great. But you just got to change the entire ending." And you're like, "What the fuck? No. You want to like someone came in and wanted a reshoot to give money. I'm like, you fucking idiot. You're going to go back to Slovakia and shoot a reshoot, you dumb dumb."
Yeah. That's crazy.
But it's a fun process though, right? It keeps your juices going.
I love it, man. If I could do one a year for the rest of my life, even if it's low budget under the radar, I'd be happy. Because working with everyone, being in a room with other creative people is awesome, as you know. You do that. It's so fun. The tough part, like I said, now the editing, it's the people who aren't creative that are going, "Hey, that joke's no good." It's like, yeah, but you don't know.
You don't know what funny is.
We do. No funny.
Oh,
you
my
know?
God.
And that's so fun. It's so hard, dude.
So frustrating. Look, I was a New York theater actor for most of my career. That's what was my main thing. Yeah, I was a theater guy, Broadway and off-Broadway. And after like 5 years of doing off-Broadway and Broadway and feeling like playwrights were kind of shitting on, "You're just an actor." Like, it's a new play, but they're like, "Look, you're an actor. I'm a playwright." And I'm like, "But you're not, you know." And then when you start doing, then I think, okay, I'm scratching my itch creatively doing stand-up, so I can do plays and just toe the line.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really work. Your mind doesn't work that way. So I did a play in a Labyrinth Theater, which was Philip Seymour Hoffman's theater company.
Yeah.
It's a big new play. It was the first play after Philip died. So there's a lot of eyeballs on it.
Yeah.
And I was like the lead character in it. And the woman directing it, she's, you know, just like very like chain smoking, like theater woman from fucking Vassar or whatever the fuck it is. And we're going through it and she keeps going like, "Oh, no, that's not funny. Nah, that's not funny. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but that's not funny." And eventually I just decided to say like, "We got to talk." I go, "If you want to tell me what my objective is, what you want me to get, how you need to play this," I go, "but you can't tell me what's funny. I know what's funny more than you. I yeah. promise you I know way more than you. And I can prove it to you if you let me. And she was literally like, kind of like, what the fuck is this guy saying? I go, it's what I do every fucking night almost. Right, you know what I mean? Right. It's not what you do. You do plays once every 4 fucking months and you're going to tell me what you know, what an audience thinks is funny. And then like my friends were like, okay, just calm down. Like let her do it. Yeah. So I kind of like took her fucking notes and then the play opened. I just went back to what I wanted to do. And of course, everything I wanted to do worked because we know. Because we have a one-to-one relationship with the audience. We know, we at least know better than a fucking playwright who's just, you know.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a player, but a director, you know. So it does bug me a lot that like, that people tell comics, like we are the arbiter of what's funny more than anybody.
I know.
Let us be funny.
I've heard people say, oh, just because you're a comedian, you know what's funny? Yes.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, that's exactly what we have to read an audience and shift gears like that. If something ain't working, all right, I'm going to go fucking this. You know what 100%. I mean? You can't, you know, like you said, if you want to tell me how to emote or if you want to bring something out of me, that's your area.
Yeah.
Stay the
but
fuck out.
But don't just say, that's not funny. It's like, bitch, you don't.
Dude, I'm dealing with that with the editing right now. We'll wind up with something that, you know, I won't be embarrassed by.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? I'll tell you what I'm embarrassed by is my do I shit on it? Do you edit at all? You know? My fucking dry bar sucks. My dry bar.
Oh, really? Special.
Yeah. And here's why. And I am making an excuse. I was supposed to shoot March 17th of 2020. And I have been, you know how much we work. I work all the time. The only time I don't work is when I take a week off. So I was ready. I had my set fucking ready to go. We were the very, very first show that was canceled during the pandemic. So they put me on the very, very first show when they came back. And I had not been on stage. Literally, my first time on stage in almost a year was shooting a dry bar special. And I didn't remember the jokes, the set.
Oh, of course.
I had to go back and like look at some old tapes and stuff. Mm-hmm. But still, it's like baseball, Major League Baseball. They send you to the minors after an injury because they don't want you back up in the bigs. You got to get your timing back.
Yeah.
You're not gonna just come right back in and face Major League pitching.
Yeah.
Stand up is like that, bro.
Oh, for sure.
You know, all of us were rusty as fuck after being. You know, I had done like a couple of Zoom.
Yeah.
shows, which are awful, but I don't even count that.
Yeah.
But I cringe watching my dry bar, right? And I begged him. I'm like, please, can I just retape? Like, you don't have to pay me. I will do it for free.
Yeah.
I don't want, because I didn't want to shoot then. And they said, yeah, you don't have to shoot right now, but we're going to put you at the end of the line. And now, because we're so backed up, you know, it'll be sometime in 2023. I should have said, I'll wait till 2023.
Yeah.
Because I look like an open micer on my thing. Like you can just, I don't know. You're your own worst critic.
Yeah, of course, it's true. I'm sure if I watched, I'd be like, come on, Ray, because I'm that bad. It's when people do, like really bad plays or really bad movies in particular, particularly independent film. People, this independent film, I'm so embarrassed. I'm like, if a film's bad, no one sees it. So it doesn't matter.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
The only way it really affects you if it's so bad, it becomes like The Room. It becomes famous for being bad.
Yeah.
Or,
dude, I loved the movie that, who was it? The kid. Oh, God.
Oh, with James Franco.
Yeah. I never saw the actual
Disaster Artist.
The Disaster Artist. Exactly. Yeah. I never saw the actual movie.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
How did you make it?
I mean, you got to see in the theater with the people throwing the forks and the spoons and doing all the sound effects like Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Right.
That's how you have to see it. If you just watch it by yourself, it doesn't even hold up as a thing to laugh at because it's so fucking dumb and boring. But when people are there, they're doing reenactments, they make it. That's fun.
Right.
Like, that's funny. Everything else about it is just like, it is incredibly abysmal.
Yeah.
Like it's wow. I don't even know how.
Well, Don't Suck will be better than that.
Of course it will. Of course it will. I mean, you know, already have, you know, Matt and Jamie are very talented.
Oh, yeah, they're
talented.
Great. Jimmy Schubert is in it.
Yeah.
Ellen Hallman is in it. Shanika Knowles, who's Beyonce Knowles' niece. She's fucking hilarious in it.
Yeah.
Russell Peters.
Yeah.
You know, the title, I don't know. I go back and forth with the title. I didn't come up with it.
Don't Suck.
Yeah, Don't Suck. You know, we had a list of like 40 titles, and someone picked that because that's something that comedians would say to each other.
Yeah,
like, hey,
don't
man,
suck.
Don't suck.
Of course.
But there's the vampire. You know what I mean?
Of course. So, yeah, I like that.
Right. And
titles that like grab you are good.
Yeah.
Titles that like don't suck, like what? That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Nope.
No.
Like the movie Nope.
Right, right, right.
I'm like Nope. No. It's what a dumb fucking title, but it's just Nope. All right.
I never even heard of it, to be honest.
Oh, it's Jordan Peele's new movie that just came out last week. Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. All
right. Nope.
Okay.
Like, really? That's your title?
Okay. Wow. That's funny. Yeah, so we'll see. Hopefully, you know, hopefully it'll be out in like October or whatnot, and I'll promote the fuck out of that.
Yeah,
I will be proud of, to promote that. My dry bar, I haven't done a damn, literally I haven't done a thing. A couple of people posted on my wall. They're like, hey, I saw that, hey, here's a clip of your, they put it on my wall and I fucking took it off my wall.
Well, you probably have some good clips there that you like.
I have a couple of clips. No, I don't like any of the clips, but some of them have a lot of views. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dry bar is like a popular thing, but
yeah.
I don't like anything that I did on there.
Wow, interesting.
I really don't, but you could just see it. You could just see in my face that I'm trying to remember. You know,
you're not having fun.
No, I did not have. No, not at all.
That's a big thing.
And again, this is no excuse. They cut to the crowd. There was 35 people in the crowd because it was still just as
COVID. Because social distancing,
right.
All that shit.
And they still shot it in the same place where they hold 200 people.
Yeah.
So we had like 50 people, but everyone had to wear a mask.
Oh,
so you cut to the crowd and you see these big banquet tables, people way far from each other and wearing their masks.
Yeah.
And so that's tough to look out. My first show after the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Or the whatever you call it. that was season two.
Season
two of COVID.
Oh boy.
And so you look out at everyone in a mask and you're just like, this is, so I'm not promoting my dry bar.
Yeah. It's funny with the COVID stuff because I definitely feel like I'm personally in my head and heart and everything just over it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have any plans to get a booster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to worry. If I get, I got it again after getting my vaccine. And
me too.
And it was fine.
Yeah.
So I'm not really worried about it. I'm not worried about monkeypox and that shit. But the fact that it sticks around, I kind of go, cool, I can keep my COVID jokes. You know what I mean? So I'm of a mixed mind. Because I have some pretty good jokes about COVID.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, I mean, a lot of them already I feel like I can do. You know
what
I mean?
Right.
But then sometimes, like, I feel like a couple weeks ago, I did a show and I had COVID jokes. And the audience was like, COVID jokes, what the fuck? I was like, damn it. And then you hear cases are back up. I'm like,
they're back. Yeah, you're rooting for it.
Back with my COVID jokes.
Here's where I go crazy tinfoil conspiracy guy. I think they're bumping up the numbers. I think they're re-releasing it or whatever they're doing.
Reboot?
Because midterms are coming up. And so the more mail-in balloting you can have, the easier you can manipulate because it put it this way. You know that the fix is in if it isn't a huge red sweep because people
yes.
all over the country are just fed up with the defunding and
yes,
all the shit
yes.
that they're pulling. So if it's not a red sweep, then you know. But and I know I sound like a fucking idiot. You know, at least I'm aware of how dumb I sound. But I truly believe that. I truly believe that they're going to try to – use it to manipulate.
But here's what I think about conspiracy theories too. So you do have people that want control and power. Everyone wants control and power, whether they admit it at any level, right? So if you look at TikTok, here's a conspiracy TikTok that I believe, right? The Chinese government has a mandate to take down America in any way possible.
100%.
Right?
Yeah.
So one of the things that the Chinese government has also promulgated in their media is getting rid of all things homosexual, effeminate, the erasure of quote unquote sissy boys from
right.
Chinese media. I mean, it's a real thing.
Yeah.
That's not just.
Oh, 100, no.
They're like, get rid of it. They want to. So TikTok is a Chinese company. It becomes the main focus point and fulcrum for all trans ideology. It becomes how it's disseminated more than Facebook, more than Instagram, more than anywhere else. It becomes where all the trans activists really congregate to say their point.
Wow.
And it gets promoted on TikTok.
Really?
If you say anything anti-trans, you're banned. So the theory is that the Chinese government is like, let's make these Americans fucking destroy themselves.
Oh, okay.
Let's remove their masculinity mainly so they can take over and they will not know. You know?
Dude, I like that. I, that's that. I'm on board with that. That makes sense.
It makes sense.
Dude, they're trying. Of course they're trying to take over. They're buying farmland in this country. They're buying.
Oh, it's crazy.
Dude, we could go down that rabbit hole forever. But yeah, that's a good one, dude.
So it's funny because people, conspiracy theory. But okay, if they are actively saying no sissy boys in Chinese, but in TikTok, it's everywhere. And they own it. Well, they don't own it anymore, but if they did.
Right.
So it's just kind of like there's something. It came across somebody's desk and someone agreed to something and someone promoted something and someone said, you know what? Fuck these people.
Right. You know?
So, yeah, I'm of a mixed man about a lot of that stuff. And your parents, are they still around?
Yeah, I'm very, very lucky, man. Knock on wood, everyone in my family lives long.
You have brothers and sisters?
I have one sister. Yeah, my dad's 79. My mom's 77. My grandparents, they're gone now, but I had a couple that cracked 100.
Yeah,
wow. Which was pretty cool. And a lot of them in the 90s. Grew up in Massachusetts, moved to L.A. on, I believe it was October 4th, 1995. And I only remember the date because it was the day of the O.J. verdict.
Oh, wow.
The O.J. trial. And my parents were like, just why don't you wait a week or two? Because what if, you know, riots and all, you know. Yeah, but yeah, yeah. I'm like, fuck, I'm ready to go, man.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I loved it. I loved L.A. for a really, really long time. You could still get down Fountain. That was the shortcut, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
because everyone is on Sunset. The traffic really wasn't that bad in the 90s.
Yeah.
I had a rent control apartment, studio. It was tiny, but I don't remember. I think I started paying like $375.
Wow.
And it could only go up a little bit, and I kept it forever.
Yeah.
But one night I was having a little get together. Danny Bevins, Jimmy Schubert, Tom Ryan, and this kid Eric Nathan. We're sitting in my tiny little studio, and Schubert's like, D'Elia, your apartment's so fucking small, your dog has to wag his tail up and down. But it was great. I loved it, and then it just got to be too much, and it got to the point where I was working in Vegas a ton. I just happened to be getting a lot of bookings there.
Yeah.
And I went and crashed at a buddy's place, you know, when I was there. And I was like, how much are you paying rent here?
Like,
and he told me. And I was like, holy shit, you got a pool, you got a hot, you got parking.
It's insane, right?
It's like two bedrooms plus a bath. I mean, I was paying, you know, by the time I left Hollywood, it was up to like $1,500 or whatever the fuck it was for some weight, not even anywhere near the size of this room that we're in right now.
Yeah.
So I said, fuck it, I'm going to just move to Vegas.
Yeah.
And I wound up buying a condo there.
Yeah, because Vegas, I mean, Vegas has gone up a lot too.
Oh, it has.
There was
a
point where I was looking to buy, because I was going to sell my place in New York, and I was looking to buy, and it was like $100,000 for a fucking mansion almost in Vegas.
This
is like almost 10 years ago, and I was like, damn.
Oh, it's gone way up now. But I bought my condo for like, it was like 145.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's double that. And
Of course.
More, you know, way more than double now. So I got lucky. And I don't get lucky with business stuff usually. When it comes with money, you know what I mean? I don't know how to do Bitcoin. I don't do stocks. I don't know enough about.
Yeah, me too.
But
that's what we're here for. We're creatives.
Right.
Someone else needs to take care of us that way.
Yes. Yeah. I have had so many comics, though, try to go, dude, come on, buy Bitcoin, buy NTF or whatever. You get a little
NFTs,
pin
yeah.
or I don't know, whatever those. I don't even know what those fucking things are.
Yeah. People explain NFTs and blockchain and Bitcoin to me over and over every time. I'm like, nah, still don't get it.
Yeah.
I still don't fucking understand.
And isn't it shitting the bed, though, now? Isn't Bitcoin like,
oh, yeah.
It's not doing well and stuff?
Well, you know, I have this new kind of bit I'm working on. I'm talking about my daughter wanting to transition.
Oh, yeah.
And I talk about, you know, it's mostly truth. Her partner wants to, she's a lesbian. Her partner wants to transition. And my daughter's like, you know, I want to transition. I was like, that's great. And, you know, I'll always love you. I go, but you're going to be transitioning to a white man, you know.
Yeah.
White men are like Bitcoin. There's a great run, but it's fucking over. The stock has never come back up. So I don't know if Bitcoin is going to come back up again. You know, have different. I don't know enough about that type of shit to know. But I have a feeling that there's enough political power behind eradicating Bitcoin's dominance. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Enough people that are like, I mean, honestly, enough Democrats that are just kind of like, we don't like this idea. Oh, maybe Republicans. I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, who hates it the most? Do Republicans hate it because it's sort of like the people are running this? Or do Republicans love it because it's not government interference? I don't know.
Right.
You know, because I kind of feel like there's a lot of hypocrisy. Like even abortion, abortion and like the trans stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, hey, my body, my choice, or the abortion and the vaccine, right?
Right. Oh, right. That, isn't that amazing?
They both have the exact same argument. Both of them.
Dude,
the Republicans will get Democrats like, you're a hypocrite. And the Democrats will probably, you're a hypocrite. And right. They are both hypocrites.
They're both. You reminded me of a line that I used to do, and I had to drop it because it just slowly stopped working. It went from an applause break to we hate your fucking guts.
Yeah.
About white guys having a good run. I go, we had a good run. You know, let's go over some of our greatest hits. White guys, we invented the, everything. And we're no longer needed. So
yeah.
I forgot what I said after that. But that when I first started doing that joke, every time it got and then it started hateful. Yeah. It just became fucking hateful.
And again,
and I was clearly making a joke.
Yeah, and again, Bill Burr does a very slick maneuver with that joke where he talks about the Elvis thing.
I haven't seen his new special.
I think it's the one previous.
Oh,
but
he
talks about watching with his wife. About Elvis, she's like, oh, I'm so mad at the culture. He just stole from black people, blah, 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 blah. And then Bill Burr's like, yeah, but you can't do that. He goes, I don't look at a black guy skateboard and be like, hey, cultural appropriation, you know. And then she laughs at it. So they're kind of community. And he goes, I don't, you know, when someone like flies from like New York to LA, I'm like, oh, you're culturally appropriating our inventions. And this is, that's too far, Bill. That's too far. Black men weren't able to invent as much stuff because they were held down and blah, 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 and they had to suffer. And he goes, that's a good point. But if they did have all those opportunities, the music would have suffered. Let's be honest. The music would have been as good. It's just a great, like, he kind of, like, he makes, and this is something I always think about, like, when I have a joke that I know it's offensive. If you make the marginalized group somehow the victor in the situation.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes you have to, like, go roundabout to do it, but, or make yourself the victim, the bad person.
Right,
I don't know.
Right.
So I always think about that because I just like going in there, like punching people.
That's what I think. Dude, Burr has such an awesome way of shitting on both sides.
Yeah.
Like holding up a mirror to both sides and saying you're both fucking assholes.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm even dumber than you guys. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Because he makes himself the, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just brilliant because he can destroy everybody, but you feel good about it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
The thing that's getting viral is this whole abortion thing where they go, the woman goes, our body, our choice. And then he does the mocking of the red state guys. Like, yeah, but you're killing a baby. You know, he does that. Well, and everyone laughs because he's mocking the Republican. And then he goes, well, that's a good point. You know what I mean? Well, there's that. And you're like, oh, wait, you're in line with the guy you just mocked. I don't know what's happening.
Right.
It's going to be interesting what happens with comedy in the next 5 to 10 years. I still think it's so hard. I don't think it's hard to do comedy right now. I think it's more challenging.
Yeah.
But fun, and it's fun to find the ways that people hate you.
Well, I think we have so much to talk about now.
Yeah.
Like, there's more material at our disposal than ever because of all this craziness that's going on in the world. But you and I being, you know, middle-aged heterosexual white guys, we're under a microscope than some more marginalized people. And that's a fact. I'm not saying that to be a douchebag, but it's true. We can't get away with as much. And so it's a little bit more of a challenge. Like, you know, when I came out and I go, hey, how you guys doing? And someone called me on using the pronoun guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you're you do get more of that than you did 10 years ago.
Oh, for sure.
But we have so much more to talk about now.
I mean,
you remember, I don't know when you started, but when I first started doing comedy, John Wayne Bobbitt had his dick cut off and Bill Clinton fucked Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah.
And it's like, I didn't have sex with it. And so every comic, you had to have 5 minutes at least just on that kind of stuff. It was ripe for material. Well, we're back there times 10 right now.
100%.
We have so much. So it's easier in that respect.
Yeah, that's true. Cause you see so many examples of people just being fucking idiots all the time now.
You know? One night I opened the show and I didn't even think anyone would laugh at this. I walked on, I go, I'm not a biologist, but you guys are a great crowd. And it's shitting on that woman. I can't even think of her name right now. But there's so much to make fun of right now in the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, listen, we got a show coming up. Let's wrap this puppy up.
Holy shit. We have a show in like 15 minutes.
Show. So thanks for it was very nice to meet you this weekend and seeing your work. You're very funny and it's cool. Where can people find you and
I have a website, rickdelia.com, and then I do the Facebooks. And I do the Instagrams.
The Instagrams.
I don't. I'm not a TikToker.
And check out his dry bar special. No, I'm kidding.
No, don't. But check out Don't Suck.
Don't Suck.
I'll let everyone know when that comes. Dude, it was great to meet you. You and I. I see you all the time. We're always like a week apart.
Yeah.
You know, I go to a club. You were there the week before, or vice versa. So it's awesome to get a chance to.
Yeah, man. Very cool. Yeah. And nice to meet your awesome wife and your friends. It's been a lot of fun. All right, man. So thanks for tuning in, guys, and signing off.